I think this is the first time I've ever been early starting a show. Already here.
Oh, that's good.
I had your name wrong on the graphic and stuff. So what happened was I went on to, you see the way Lazar has the, what do you call that letter? That first D with the little line through it?
Like J.
J, okay. Yeah. Is that its name? Does it have a different name?
That's the name of that letter.
Okay, right. So I had it, I copied and pasted that from your games profile and then pasted it in. And I was like, right, I just assumed it worked because it showed up. And then Lazar messaged me today and was like, you know, it's supposed to have a J. And I was like, I put the fucking special D in and it just didn't show up.
Yeah.
So I went back and changed it.
Yeah, actually, like you can use it also like as a letter like D and then J. And then basically that's like that one letter.
Okay. So what language do you speak?
Generally? Serbian.
Serbian. So that's, is there a difference? Is it a Serbian alphabet then?
Yeah, there is.
Okay. And that's one of the Serbian letters, I guess.
Yeah, that's one of those. Yeah. We have those few with the
accents or whatever.
Those small lines. Yeah.
What's the C with the whatever line on top? Is that pronounced different than K?
Yeah, that's pronounced Ch.
Oh, fucking hell. Okay. Wow. Sounds like you're kind of just making it up as you go along. Yeah, this language sounds a lot like English to me. Yeah. I think they're just trying to make themselves seem special. Serbia, you only recently returned to Serbia though, right? Weren't you living in the Middle East?
Yes, but I was there for like last 2 years or two winters, I would say. I was in Middle East basically from October to I came home like beginning of March, end of February, beginning of March.
The last 2 years you did the same thing?
Yeah, I was home for during the summer pretty much, and then I went during the winter. I was in UAE. So yeah, wow. That's how it went last 2 years.
I'm just trying to, I just want to get a grasp on where Serbia is. There. Okay. That's you there.
Yes, exactly.
Serbia. And whereabouts in Serbia? North, south, east, west?
North, like closer to Hungary, I would say. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Up here somewhere.
Yeah.
There's so many countries, not so much, but like, if you showed me, say, like this general area on a map, like I'm from Europe, but if you show me this general area on a map and said, hey, point out Kosovo, I'd just be like, I'm just going to like stab my finger at the map and hope for the best. I'm just so unfamiliar. The only reason I know Serbia because of you and Lazar, because we were in a group. Ireland were in a group with Serbia for European qualifications a couple of times.
Yeah, that's true. I remember.
Like Branislav Ivanovic, he's from there, isn't he? And like I know.
He was our captain for a long time for our national team.
And then Suarez bit him, didn't he? Wasn't that? Yeah, that's his claim to fame. So when you moved to the Middle East then, whereabouts were you over there? Were you in like Saudi Arabia or?
No, I was in United Arab Emirates.
Okay, so over this way.
Yeah, in Abu Dhabi.
Okay, and so when you were living there, were you like based out of there and traveling all around that area or just staying in Abu Dhabi?
I was staying in Abu Dhabi most of the time, and I was maybe like two times a week I was driving to Dubai to train there, meet up with some friends, or just do some training that I couldn't do at in Abu Dhabi at the gym where I was.
And how different, I have no concept of what life is like in Abu Dhabi or Serbia. Is it like vastly different from where you were living before you moved over? Like when you landed there, were you like, oh, fuck, this is totally different?
Oh, it was completely different, especially like we are from, I would say, like a small town in Serbia, maybe around 30,000 people, nothing crazy. We have one huge street and not many things going on. And then like when you train, you're just pretty much in your backyard all the time, and you meet with some friends maybe once or twice a week for a coffee or something. So that not many things going on, not it's not crazy traffic, nothing like that. And then when I went to Abu Dhabi and city is like, what, 50 times bigger than what I was used to. Yeah, that was a bit different. And then, of course, the weather and like the buildings, sand, all of that.
Sand. So you went there first 2 years ago. And then did you go there? So what year is that? 2022, I guess.
Yeah, like beginning
winter,
of like actually
one.
Yeah, winter of 2022 to 2023 that year.
Okay. And then you did the same again, 23 to 24.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So when you went there, 22 to 23, did you go there thinking, oh, I'm going to move over here for the winter and like enjoy myself and train in a better, like a warmer climate or whatever? Or did you just go for a visit and then stay?
Honestly, I went once or twice before I moved to Dubai CrossFit Championship. And then I really liked it there. And then I went into kind of like searching, is there any more competitions like that over there? And then I find out there's many of them in the Middle East and in all those countries around Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Oman, all these small countries around. And I figured, oh, like CrossFit is really big here. And I really liked it when I was there in Dubai first 2 years. And then I did Dubai Championship in 2022. And then I figured, oh, there's one more competition in a month, and then one more in a month, and then one more in a month. And then I was thinking, like, why would I travel back and forth from Serbia to Middle East? Because the weather is so much different, especially in the winter in Serbia. We have snow, it's really cold. And in the Middle East, it's like 25 to 30 degrees. It's really warm and the climate is so much different. And then I thought, okay, maybe I should try to see how can I stay for a bit longer, and figured, because I wanted to do all of these competitions, they looked really interesting, and then that's how I went.
Yeah.
So that's how I went at first, just to compete.
The competitions that are there, are they? Because like I don't want to misquote you, but I think I remember you saying in Madrid, like we met each other in Madrid, and I think I remember you saying that there could be just a random competition on a Saturday in like a mall where it's like, oh, hey, it's rowing and burpee, and there's like $2,000 up for grabs, basically.
Yes. Yes, exactly. There was like many challenges around over there, literally like 2K row for time with some crazy prize money in a mall on a Sunday.
And yeah, there is a lot of up the money for it. Just the mall.
I mean, I think that in the Middle East, in those, I would say, like richer countries, they are really trying to push fitness in front, because there is a lot of, I think, obesity, a lot of people like not really moving around, because in summers it's really hot, everybody's staying inside or just in the malls or just driving all day. So they're I think really trying to promote fitness, and that's how CrossFit became really popular over there.
Is it like, so like when would you, you're, because I have it as the title of the episode, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but like I was talking to someone else and I said, oh, I think like Luke is basically one of the only actual professional CrossFit athletes. And he was saying, no, like, what about like Vellner or Fukowski? And I was like, yeah, but they have like huge sponsors who back them and make up. And they both actually have jobs as it happens. But I don't think Brent does anymore, but they both, you know, Pat works. But like you could solely survive off competition earnings off those like few months every year if you needed to.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was basically doing last 2 years, but I wouldn't say I'm like the only professional athlete. I think there is some athletes that also compete a lot during the year, but then there is also some athletes that I would say compete only twice a year, and most of the earnings they do is through Instagram.
Yeah,
they just do the game season, which is basically two live competitions a year, semifinals and the games, and that's it. But there is a lot of athletes that compete a lot in the off season. I think I went maybe
to an extreme.
Yeah, too extreme. But I don't have any, I would say, too big of a sponsors where I could just chill. I don't do anything for a year and then just prepare for all these, I would say, just like game season. So yeah, that's basically what was my job last 2 years. I was traveling around the world and competing.
It's funny because an athlete, I won't name them, but an athlete who missed out on semifinals recently messaged me and was like, oh no, they put up a thing on Instagram saying, oh, any big competitions. And I was like, you know who you need to talk to?
I actually
need to message Luca because he'll know.
I had few athletes that missed out that reached out to me and they were like, hey, do you have any suggestion about the competitions? Is there any competition happening? And I'm like, you know what? You need to do your own research.
You did though. That was your income for like 2 years, right? That was your, like, by and large, like mainly, like you had some sponsorship money and some, you know, whatever, but like you give us like a ballpark of what in that 4 month period, is it like a salary, like an annual salary from that 4 months?
I mean, if we are looking at what would I be making if I was working in Serbia, then year of competing is what I would make basically in 5 years of work in Serbia. Because when I was coaching in Serbia, because I was coaching from basically 2018 to 2021, when I made the games first time, that's when I stopped coaching. Not first time, the only time when I made the games, that's when I stopped coaching. And basically what I was making at the time was like 400 euros a month, something like that, which is, I mean, the salary in Serbia is not something that's great in a country, I would say, but, and then especially in, I would say, CrossFit, it's not really popular. And then when I look at it, what I make in a one competition, wherever, is basically what I would be making in a year as a coach.
Fucking hell, that's crazy. Is the cost of living in Serbia like kind of standard Europe, or is it cheaper or more expensive?
I would say rent is cheaper than in Europe, a lot. Not a lot. I mean, it's cheaper than in Europe, definitely. But the price of food and like fuel, stuff like that, it's pretty much the same as in Europe.
Okay. And when you were living before you moved to Abu Dhabi, was like, do you and Lazar live together now or just near each other?
We were living together for, he moved out like a month ago, 2 months ago, something like that. He moved out
as the competition started getting closer. I'm just going to move out and move in with my girlfriend. It's nothing to do with
actually, I wasn't thinking about that. Now when you say it, it makes sense. Yeah.
he's doing like sneaky extra training in the evenings that he's not telling.
Yeah, probably.
I was looking so earlier on. I vividly remember the 2021 games, and you and Lazar on Savan's show. And you were on it. I think he was on it on his own, and then you were on it together a couple of times, and you were kind of on it from the hotel, I think, as well, maybe, or something during the games.
It was like warm up area or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. So that 2021 season, that was the German Throwdown online. Was it that year? Yeah.
Yeah, that was a COVID year.
Yeah. One of them. So you finished third in the German Throwdown and then went to the games. But you have been doing, like, you hadn't been that long in the tooth, really, like 3 or 4 years doing it before that point. Who did you find it first, or did Lazar find it first?
Lazar found it first. Lazar went to United States to work. There's like a work and travel, how you say, like work and
like
travel
kind of thing.
Yeah, in university, and he went there to work as a lifeguard, and then one of his friends over there was doing CrossFit. He talked Lazar into doing CrossFit. Lazar started it, came back home. And then I was playing football at the moment. I had a really bad injury. And then Lazar kind of talked me into starting to do CrossFit to lose some weight and trying to get better at football. And then that's how it went into CrossFit direction.
What position did you play in football?
Striker.
Okay. And what level were you at?
I would say like I was semi-professional. Like I was playing third league in Serbia, which is league where young talents play. Yeah. Basically like every team needs to have one player that's below age of 20. And okay. usually that's the league from where you go to basically the first league. I mean, football in Serbia is not crazy, but we are pretty, we have some solid teams.
What was your hit rate like? So say appearances and goals, what was your best season?
Oh, I had one really good season when I was playing for, it was under 18, I think. And in 15 games that we had in half of that, because we had 15 games in one part of the season, then 15 games in another, and I scored 35 goals in 15 games. That's pretty good.
Fucking hell. Okay, so a few hat tricks thrown in as well.
Yeah, like, a few of them. Just, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
But I was also penalty taker and free kick taker and all of that. So that
you don't tell that bit. You just say like, yeah, 35 and 15, man. And then so. Like at that point, was that your plan? Was it just go keep playing football, make a professional, and that was your career, basically?
Since I started playing football when I was 7 years old, and since then there was nothing else in my life that interested me. And Lazar can tell you that, anyone who knows me, like I didn't care about the school, I didn't care about anything else. It was just football and nothing else. Even when I had like bad grades in school, my parents would just say, "Hey, you can't go to training if you don't have good grades." And then I had amazing grades just so that I can train football, and that was the only thing I cared about.
And then so what injury did you get? What was the
I broke my like that small bone on side of your, like, it's called fibula bone, that's connecting together to your ankle. Yeah. So I basically broke my ankle and that bone, like, it was like it broke like a bit on the side.
Lovely.
But it was pretty bad because it's like the spot where it can't heal quickly. So that was 3 months of how you say when your leg is in
Like in a boot or in a cast or whatever.
Was
that from rolling it, like from going over on your ankle?
Yeah, it's from a tackle. I basically tackled from a ball, and then the defender, instead of like he was running to kick the ball, instead of kicking the ball, he kicked my ankle, and then my foot just rolled over on the side.
Accidentally. So he comes back talking about CrossFit. I can fucking picture that. Oh, Luca, you need to you're just like, fuck off, Lazar, I'm not interested. So at that point, were you like, I'm gonna go back, like I'm still gonna play football, like I'm still gonna go back?
Yeah, like during those 3 months that I couldn't basically move, I gained like, I would say, 5 to 7 kilos of just weight that was like, yeah, just fat, I would say. And then my goal was basically, I just started like walking again and running again. And then Lazar bought like from some money that he saved and stuff like that, he bought like some of the equipment for CrossFit, box, ball for throwing, rower, stuff like that. And then my plan was basically when I started training again, to just train one session of CrossFit and then one session of football until I'm back in shape, and then just be back at football.
When did that change?
So basically when I went back to football, that was really like bad moment to have an injury, because that, like, I just turned 17, and that's like, okay, you have, let's say, one more year and you have to be in the first leagues to be like a professional football player. And then, you know, when you are 3 months out of the field, I was just moved to like the A team, let's say, because I was playing in under 18s, and then they moved me to like a A team, yeah, like senior team. And they started giving me some minutes before the injury, and I was playing really good. But in 3 months, basically half of the season is done. You're coming to like the new season. Same coach was there, but there was a lot of more like new players, stuff like that. They forget you in 3 months, I would say. And then I started playing again, but I needed a lot of time to get back to a level where I was playing at before. And then, you know, when you're a striker, confidence goes away. You need some like games to be back. But when you are like a kid in a senior football, there's no chances. Like you have one or two chances and that's it, because nobody is gonna like risk with somebody who was out of the game for 3 or more months. And then that's how it slowed. Then I went back to playing under 21. I played a few games, I played half of the season, but at the time I was doing the like CrossFit on the side, like all the time, basically. And I really started loving it. I went with Lazar to some of the like local competitions where I was competing in team category. And then how CrossFit was getting better and better, football was getting worse and worse, and the situation around the team was really like the coach wouldn't play me, stuff like that. Doesn't matter how good I was in under 21, I wasn't getting any minutes in the senior team. And then, yeah, that's how it went. Slowly it moved, and I was slowly starting to realize that my dream of becoming a professional football player is not going to happen. And then it was a time to go to university. I went to university. I had to start traveling a bit more. And that's how it, like, how football, let's say, stopped.
Yeah. It is. I guess it's the bonus or the main perk or main benefit of CrossFit, especially when you're an individual, is that it's purely reliant on you. So like you're injured for 3 months. It's up to you whether you go back, and it's up to you, depending on the injury, like it's up to you what level you get back to. And it's all on you. You're not waiting for, you don't need Lazar to say, okay, you can go do it now. Like you just go do it.
Yes, so, exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever stay in touch with any of the football like guys that you used to play with or anything?
Honestly, no. Like a lot of guys that were playing with me in like those under 18, under 21s, they pretty much all stopped. And those in senior team, I wasn't in. They were much older than me at the time, so I didn't really make any friends.
You weren't in any WhatsApp groups yet. Okay, so then 2021. So who were you just coaching yourself then, say like 17, 18, 19, around there? Were you just coaching yourself and just programming yourself or doing whatever Lazar's doing kind of?
Basically, in the beginning, when I started, Lazar would just give me some training that he was doing. And he was like, we always laugh at it. We have these little books where we had written those workouts that we were doing. And they were so stupid. Like we were just doing 20-minute time reps all the time of like 20-minute AMRAP of 20 kettlebell swings and 20 wall balls. Then the next one is 400-meter run and 20 burpees. But he was kind of guiding me because he was a lot more into it. I think he already started following some program at the time or had a coach. And for those first few years, I was just doing pretty much whatever, or I would see him and just copy it, or he would, like, we would buy some program online and try to follow it, something like that, in those first few years.
And then, so when you went to the games in 2021, then what was your scenario then? Did you have a coach then, or what were you doing?
I had a coach. At the time, I was doing the individual programming with a coach from Germany. His name was Jörn Perlwitz.
Okay.
We worked together for like 3 years, I would say, 2 years before I made the games. And
And then the year after, you were with Misfits. The year after, right? 22.
Yeah. Then after the games, I started working with Misfit Athletics.
So when you went to the games, so in 2021, you go to the games, are you like, oh shit, this is everything I thought it's going to be. It's brilliant. I want to go back next year. Or were you like disappointed with any of it? Or
I was depressed after the games. Like,
oh, okay. How come?
Not really depressed. I think maybe that's exaggerating, but I was expecting to be more competitive at the games than I was. And maybe that's because I didn't really have touch with any, because for me, the problem was not the problem, but what happened to me is all these athletes that we know of in Europe, Lazar, BKG, Yone, whatever, all these guys, they had these like a progressional, let's say, career that when they were competing at regionals, then they were competing in Dubai, maybe some of them, like Wallapalooza, some of that. And then they started, like, they were really good at regional, then they went to games. For me, like, all these, like, I skipped all of these steps. And then from my garage, I was at the games. And I was just lost. Because the COVID basically happened in the during sanctional season. I was planning to do many of these competitions. All of them, Dubai, Madrid Championship, French Throwdown, German Throwdown. Yeah, because like not only that was that back then it was the way to qualify for the games, but also for experience, because basically I never competed at the high level competition before the games. I was never at Dubai. I was never at Wallapalooza, none of these competitions. And then COVID happened. All of these competitions got shut down. I was training in my garage for a year. I improved so much, but I didn't have anywhere to like see where I'm at, how good am I, like compare myself to those big names that I basically never seen before. And then we had online semifinals. Next thing I know, I'm walking out in Colosseum. And then I'm like, oh, how did this happen? Because I was basically watching games for 5 years and like those yearly movies that they were making. And then next thing I know, oh my God, I'm next to some of these athletes that I was watching in a movie.
So when you finished then, you finished like 29th. So when you said the next day, do you instantly have regrets? Like, do you instantly feel like I've heard of people basically who make it to the games and they maybe not deliberately, but maybe like subconsciously, like almost let someone pass them because they're like, well, like that's fucking, you know, that's Fraser. I can't, you know, like I can't beat him. So something's going to happen. So I might as well just slow down a little bit and let him pass. Like, do you feel like you left a lot on the floor?
I think I gave my everything. I was just not at the time. I went with the bigger expectations than how good I was. You know, at the moment, I think that 29th place was pretty solid, I would say, for somebody who was 22 years old, first big competition experience against all of these athletes. But I think for me, it was maybe the fact that there was cuts that year and I was cut in the second cut. So that's kind of stung a little bit, the fact that I was cut and maybe I was expecting a bit higher finish. But now looking back at it, I'm really proud of that effort.
How did that take to be proud of it?
It took like 2 years, I would say.
It just happened 5 minutes ago. So if you make it to the games and then you're not happy, is that what spawned the change? Is that what made you think of changing the Misfits, the fact that you felt underprepared? Or was it just like, oh, I'm just going to change it? Because usually if someone does it, they're like, well, that worked well, let's build on that.
Yeah, for me, I think the fact my fitness was really like I would say what was testing at the games. I was really like I was good at things that will never show up, like those really single modality stuff, like just throwing or just running or those kinds of things. And I was doing just too much of it. I was really bad at the barbell and barbell cycling, positions, mobility, those kinds of things. And I was already, what I think is like, you can only progress so much if you are doing the same thing. So basically I think that change sometimes is really good, especially programming wise after 2 or 3 years following the same, even more, let's say 3-4 years following the same program, I just thought I was ready for a change and maybe gets closer to what programming at the games and that semifinal level is.
And then
or regional back in the day.
The next year then was Lowlands.
And Lowlands,
You missed out by one spot.
Yeah, I was sixth. That one really stuck, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I remember a couple of things about that. I remember, like, watching, like, that Lazar basically didn't enjoy, like, winning because he was like, this is
I
so
actually,
cool.
Last 2 years, I made his celebrations pretty, like, pretty bad. I feel really bad for it. I really need to make up for it. His last 2 years were, like, he won, but he couldn't, like, he could, but he definitely felt a bit sad at I was on the other side.
But these, like, I don't want to rub it in, but like it was within reach in that final event, right? Like if you had
I think I made just too many mistakes going into the weekend. I had the back injury that was going on for like 3 or 4 months, and you can see that in that lifting event I took, I think 20th or 21st. Just like I had that some injury that I couldn't really sold going into the competition, and then you see I had pretty consistent finishes across, and then lifting event pretty much costed me that ticket. And maybe the fact lighting in event two, I just paced it too much. Again, like inexperience, I would say.
There's a lot of familiar names for this year, like just looking down, it's crazy the the consistency of the names is pretty impressive. Yeah. And the next year then, so you missed out. That's obviously like gut-wrenching. You miss out. And then last year you withdrew due to injury during the event. Is that right?
Yeah, I withdrew after the first event. I was basically sick a week and a half before the semifinals. I knew basically that I wouldn't compete. I just tried to give it a shot. Everything was already booked. I had my trip planned. I couldn't cancel on anything. I got extremely sick, like, let's say 10 days before the event. And I was like, the day before boarding a flight, I was on IV because I couldn't eat anything for like 5 days. I was throwing up left and right. I had temperature like 41 degrees. I had this, like, I don't know what it was. Was it COVID? Was it some wild flu or whatever? A lot of people said I withdrew because I couldn't do rack ring muscle ups and I was not fit. But yeah, that was just like, I just couldn't do anything that year. And it was really bad because after like sixth place in Lowlands, basically the whole year, what I was thinking is just, I want to go back to the semifinals and I want to qualify for the games because I really want to show. And I knew back, like, I built up some confidence. I competed. I showed up a few big stages and had some solid results in Dubai, in Madrid 2 years, at French Throwdown, some of those competitions. I won German Throwdown and like some of the bigger competitions, let's say in Europe. And I knew I belong. But yeah, that was really hard pill to swallow when I basically 7 days before semifinals, I came to like realization, look, like you're probably not even, but like doctor told me like you can go, but like 99% of the chance, like you will not be able to compete. And somehow I survived first event. I was like I had like three Panadols, two coffees and a pre-workout just to be able to walk out on the floor. And then warming up for the event too, I just had my nose started bleeding. And I think some people saw me during the preparation phase and then they saw me in Berlin and they're like, what happened to you? Like, I literally lost 7 kilos in that 10 days leading up to the semifinals because, yeah, my body was just destroyed.
Yeah, I think if your nose starts bleeding, it's probably time to call it quits.
Yeah.
You're probably on a low ebb. So, like, obviously with football, you're waiting for your chance and you're kind of reliant on, like, it sounds kind of shit, but you're relying on someone getting injured or you're relying on someone like having a shit month or like, you know, just fucking booting the ball into the rosette or whatever. Yeah. In CrossFit, like we talked about, it's all just purely reliant on you. Like, does that make it harder then when something like that happens? Was last year more difficult to swallow than the year before when you felt ready and you felt like, oh, I'm good to go and I want to redeem myself from last year and I want to go back again? And then it's not even because you performed badly. It's like you couldn't even do it.
Yeah, I couldn't. Honestly, I couldn't believe it for 2 weeks. Like, for 2 weeks, I was waiting to wake up. Like, it was, for me, it felt like there's no way that this happens to me. Like, to be at the games at 22 and then when nobody was even expecting or knew me or whatever, and then when people were predicting me to go to the games or whatever, when I was feeling ready to go to the games, I missed out by a spot. And then next year I'm like, okay, this is gonna be a cool story. I trained full year for this competition and then I just got sick and I was like, there's no way this is happening. So yeah.
Were you still with Misfits then?
Yeah.
And you're with Underdogs now, right?
Yes, since December.
Okay. And why Underdogs, or why? Because is it Kiefer is your kind of touch point there? Yeah. So why him and why Underdogs?
Yeah. So after that semifinals, I felt like I just needed a reset button. It was nothing about the programming. It was nothing. It was maybe just mental thing, like so many things that happened or anything. I just wanted kind of to press a reset button on my career and start over, let's say. And then I just was doing like kind of programming for myself for a long time and just doing what I thought I need. And then I did pretty well on some competitions. And then I always try to, like, let's say, study the game, study to like try to look into what other programs are doing, where the sport is moving on. And then for a long time, I was like kind of had my eyes on Underdogs. I really liked how some of their athletes progressed across the year. They had some pretty good showings. I looked into program, and then after Dubai, I saw like during the year a lot of their athletes performed really well, and then they had these like free trial on the program. And after Dubai, I just like because when I was programming, let's say programming, like doing what I wanted to do, I couldn't really find that sweet spot. I was either really fit but weak, or I was really strong, not really strong. I was strong, but I wasn't really fit. So I couldn't really find that balance. And I was like, maybe I'm not really good at this, or not ready to program for myself yet. Let's see. Let's try to like settle in something that, because you also want to do like programming that you believe in and that you believe that's really good. And then, okay, I don't want to talk to anyone or whatever. Let me just see and do like this like trial period for some time. I had some competitions coming up. So yeah, I just signed up for Underdogs, and I was just like basically paying the elite plan that they had on the website. Both Kiefer and Justin reached out to me, and they said, "Hey, we saw that you are following our program now. If you need anything, just reach out." That's basically how it started. And then I was just doing the elite plan for, I would say, a month. And if I had any questions, I was reaching out to Kiefer asking, "Hey, what is purpose of this Metcon or of this workout and stuff like that?" And then they basically, that's how it progressed into individual coaching with Kiefer.
You know, if you did Sentinel training, you wouldn't have to ask that question, because Taylor gives detailed notes. Kiefer's a really good guy, though. I like Kiefer a lot. Like, it's a good, it's not a very flattering thumbnail, Kiefer. I like his approach to act, like him and Justin. They're very, they complement each other very well. A bit of a yin yang. Like, Kiefer's quite calm. He'll stand with his arms folded and watch, like, you know, more or less in this style from a distance, whereas Justin is like screaming in your face with like spit flying and, you know, like vein like about to burst out of his forehead or whatever. But they seem to have a great dynamic working together. When you think of Underdog, or even just like say Kiefer specifically, and you compare him to other coaches that you have or other coaches that you see, is there something in him as a coach that like particularly works well with you, do you think? Like, does he trust you more, or is he more hands-on, or like what is it about the relationship that works well?
I really like he's really dedicated. It's not like I like a relationship with a coach where first of all, for me, honestly, I need a coach that also supports the way I see this sport and the way I want to like live my life as an athlete, because there is a lot of coaches in the space that they just prioritize the game season and they don't really care about anything else. So that was the first thing when I had a call with him and we talked about it. Like, my goal is never to just do two competitions a year, no matter how big I grew in the sport or how big sponsors I have or anything. Like I just couldn't compete like that. I couldn't train. Like, I can't, honestly, when I finish a competition, I know there's nothing in 6 months. I don't really have motivation to train, because that's not how I grew up. And I always, like, I want to be an athlete. I don't want to really be somebody who is just waiting around for a year to compete. And then if it goes well, it's good. Then I need to push my Instagram. If it doesn't go well, then I have to find a job or something like that, you know? And what I wanted basically is a support where I have somebody who believes in same things I do, which is that it's not really a sport where you compete twice a year. And you can see in though a lot of other Underdogs athletes, like how much they competed during a year. They do a lot of off-season competitions. And then also, like, he's really like focused on things that like I need to work on, but then also we try to, let's say, stay good at things I was already good at, and our communication is really good. So yeah, that's basically why I like stayed and why I trust him since we started working together.
Is it true that you were strongly considering doing the Athens Throwdown in like 5 days with semifinals the week after?
Yeah, I was strongly considering. I did qualifiers. I was first place in the qualifiers, and I was like, am I really gonna pull out? Like, honestly, I still might go.
But no, isn't it like, isn't it like 10K or something? It's like decent money.
Yeah, it's really good prize money. But yeah, what I wanted is like, I really have a lot of competitions planned after the game season. Again, like as much as game season is important to me, off season is also like important to me. I have a lot of competitions planned, and I was really weighing in on that decision: should I compete in Athens or not? I mean, let's be like, the one thing is like, you have to be like, realistically, the field is not that strong because a lot of good athletes in Europe decided to not do it. So
they were sensible and they decided to prioritize the semifinals.
Yeah. And then I was, because of that, I was thinking maybe I should go there. It could be a good like intensity week before and probably like maybe earn some really good money, because also like you have to think there is not many competitions in a year that offer 10K prize money for first place. And then you're weighing in on that decision. That's probably more money that will be first place in the semifinals. And that's more money that's, I think that's the same amount of money that's like around like 15th place of the games, probably after tax. So it's like,
and it's a lot cheaper to go to Greece than it is to...
Exactly. And Greece for me is like 1 hour flight, games like Madison, or no, we are now in Fort Worth, whatever. it's a pretty big, like big flight. It's really expensive, etc. So that's why I wanted to do it. Not because I'm like crazy to compete, but just because it's a really good opportunity to earn a lot. I like weighing on that way that decision, talked to Kiefer, and then I was like, yeah.
What was his response when you said like, hey,
first he thought that it's week after the semifinals, and he's like, maybe we should do it.
Okay.
And then I'm like, no, it's like the weekend before the semifinals. And then he's like, really? But honestly, like with what happened last 2 years, so many what ifs and what could happen. What could happen if I was healthy? What could happen if I paced whatever event? Like I was just honestly, like I'm really happy with how my last 2 years went apart from the game season. And then I'm like, okay, I think I'm ready and kind of like settled in to, I mean, I think I'm in a really good shape. I'm healthy. This year was the best training this last few months. I would say since December is definitely the best training I ever did. I never had any knocking in the wood, any issues, no injuries. I was healthy all these months. And then I'm like, maybe me and people around me like deserve to see like this Luca that won some of these competitions, which I thought he like, I was really fit and I was really good. And I beat some of the athletes that were at the games and that qualified from Europe semifinals. I think I want to bring that to this semifinal after 2 years of not making it. I was like I let my heart take the decision and not my brain, which would probably go for like a probably easy competition and maybe like a big opportunity to win good money in Greece. I really wanted to like, let's do this semifinal properly. And then I would do some other competitions after the game season.
Yeah, I think like it is sensible because I think, as you say, if you've had 2 years of almost and what ifs, you might as well have 1 year of like, let's just go all in for the month, see what, like you've obviously gone all in from December, but as in like, let's dedicate like May to just the semifinals and see what happens when I just focus on that and nothing else.
Because I was thinking like, there is also like a huge, maybe I go to Athens, win the competition, but catch a virus or maybe like, the, you know, like
strain your shoulder travel, or anything like
then
that.
Then you have to travel from Athens to France. It's a lot of traveling. It's a lot of
being around.
Yeah.
If you want, you'd be able to fly first class. If you do want to make some money from your own home on Saturday, you can win $1,500 if you beat Taylor Self in a workout on Saturday.
I looked into it, but I didn't really like saw, is it, who's programming those workouts?
So he's picking the workouts himself. So he's picking he's picking stuff that he's good at. But I'm telling you, if you watch over the next couple of weeks, he's going to start getting cocky and throwing in like, oh, I'm not that good at that, but I'll throw it in anyway. So it was $500 the first week. And the first week was, what was the first week? Rope climbs and double kettlebell.
Yeah, I saw last week was rowing, burpee, box getovers, and bar muscle ups, right?
Yeah, and it was a high box, like a 4-inch box or something.
But the thing for us in Europe, it's the time of streaming is not really ideal, you know. But because
it's not bad. It's like 7 p.m. It was 7 p.m. I think your time, but I actually think it's going to be earlier.
Yeah,
I think they should move it a bit earlier this week. So I think it's going to be like 9 a.m. Or I think like 9 a.m. Pacific time, which is like 5 p.m. for me, so 6 p.m. for you. So that's doable.
Yeah,
you just have to be at your gym, basically.
Yeah, which I usually am.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I look into it. But you know, now when the workouts are out and when I decided to not go to Athens, I would probably skip trying to beat Taylor and risk anything before the semifinals. You know?
Fair. But if nobody beats him, that's the thing. It's going to get crazy because if nobody beats him, it's $500 added every week. So like,
yeah, I saw, he's also pretty fit dude. Like you can't take that away from him. So I'm also like, you know, if I am deciding to skip Athens Throwdown, which is almost 10K first place, I'm just not doing anything until semifinals.
Yeah. That's fair. After semifinals though, you can win. And then that'll be, you'll pay for like,
I hope it goes on for more. And then
I'm willing to bet it goes up to, I would not be surprised. It went up to like $10,000 or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's a good concept too. And, plus $500 every week. It's nuts. And what's starting to happen is like $500, people are like, ooh, like, what's this? And then like $1,000, people are like, all right, like, you know, what's the workout? Whereas now I think next week you'll start having more and more like semis and games athletes being like, I'm just going to hang around at the, I'm just going to hang back at the gym for like an extra 10 minutes, just see what the workout is, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because they do women's weights as well and women's standards, which is cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
So semifinals are obviously kicking off, in like about 10 days or 7 days or whatever, 8 days.
Yeah.
I spoke to Lazar earlier on for Heat One, and I'm curious if you'll reflect what he said. So if you open up the Heat One app now and you're doing Shot Caller and you're looking, flicking through the events, is there an event there that you would pick? All right, I'm picking myself for that one. To win it.
To pick myself to win it.
Yeah.
I would pick event 3.
Okay. Why?
I just think that the workout, if I wrote the workout for myself, that would be exactly that.
Interesting.
Yeah. What I was working on before, I was a really good runner, but I was, let's say, really weak. So let's say, I think I'm not as... I think that just combination of the movements, what's getting tested there. There was many legless rope climb workouts that I did against the really good field in Dubai in semifinals 2 years in a row, and some competitions around the legless rope climbs are really the strength of mine, box jump overs as well. And then bike is there just to make you tired for all of that. So yeah, I just think that the workout at the moment is the one that suits me the best out of the six events. But I can say that I don't like all of them. This one is just what I think I have the biggest chance of winning.
So when I asked Lazar for himself, he said one of the first three. So he's like, workout number one, he said, it's fine. It's a running workout, was what he said. So he's like, I like to run, like Forrest Gump. And then he said the second one, he was like, that's very like the workout that I won in Dubai, confident in that. And then he said, basically the same as you said, he said, workout number three is basically my workout. Like, he was like, I was programming for myself. That's what I program. And then the only one he conceded defeat on two, basically. So he said, Braun is winning event five. He was like, I'm not, like, you know, he's like, let's just call a spade. And then he said, event six, he said, don't pick me for that one because hopefully I'll have qualified and I'm just going to cruise through that.
Yes. Yes, because event six, you don't know. You never know, because if you're in a good position, you will not be willing to hurt as much as somebody who is in 11th or 12th spot if 10 people is going. So, yeah. But for me, I think, honestly, event three is something I'm looking forward the most. But also, I think some of the other events there that wouldn't before be good for me, I think will be really good for me. I think I improved a lot across the board. There's not any more those peaks of values that were there before where I would place first, but then last or whatever, like top three and then 20th as it was in Lowlands. I just think that I moved a lot of those pieces closer to each other. Maybe there would be like few points that will get sacrificed from not first, but fourth, but then that 20th will come closer to top five. And then that's why I think just across the board, the workouts, I really like them. But event three is something that I think I will go into event three to win it. Definitely.
Oh, that's cool. I love hearing shit like that. Like someone saying, I'm going to win that event. Watching you and Lazar, so like I would classify you two as like incredibly close as brothers go. You spend a lot of time together. You train together. From the outside looking in, I guess, prior to seeing you guys in Madrid, I was of the train of thought or the school of thought of, okay, they're brothers. Oh, fine. Like, I have a brother. I'm not that close to him. I was just like, okay, they're brothers who do the same sport. That's cool. But watching you two in Madrid, it was remarkable how, like, there was one event, the lifting event in particular, you were like shouting across the floor at each other on the floor. Each other needed to do so that, because he was in first, I think, or second, and you were in fourth, and he was trying to get you to leapfrog Travis into third. And what did you need to put on the bar? What did he need to put on the bar so that both of you could cut and he could come between? And I was like, how the fuck are they doing this maths across? But it's like most athletes, even their training partner, whoever, they couldn't give a shit. Like, once it's 3-2-1 go, it's like, right, you do your thing and I'll do mine. But you seem to have, like, after every event going upstairs, you two are constantly talking of, oh, well, I did this so that you wouldn't have to do this, and then blah, blah, blah. Is that like, and throughout the year, is that your relationship all the time, or was that specific to Madrid?
I think it is, because even now when we are testing events, we were like, one of us will test the event, tell everything to the other. Like, look, I did this, my time was this, this is how I paced it, this is what I think I did good, this is what I didn't think I did bad. And then basically when you think about it, at the end of the day, both of us will do the best he can. Like, when we are on the floor, we can try to help each other, whatever, like in the warm-up area or whatever. But when you're on the floor, you both of us will just do the best we can. But those informations and those like things we share between each other that some of the athletes like try to keep close to their chest. Because if I tell Lazar everything that I did in the workout and he tells me everything that he did in a workout, that's basically if we tested the same workout twice, but we did it once. And then for me, like, the family is something that's really, really important to me. Like, that's how we grow up. Like, we really try to, like, the CrossFit will never be as important to me as the family is. That's how it's for me. And then if that means that, like, I will try to keep my relationship with him as healthy as possible, even though we are like sometimes direct competitors. Like, you will see probably in semifinals, a lot of workouts that are good for Lazar are good for me as well. And maybe we will have some good races. But at the end of the day, it's just sport. It's like, for me, it's the sport. It's my job. It's not something that I saw some of the other brothers, across the sport or whatever, that are not as close as we are. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, how can CrossFit be more important to me than, because CrossFit will go for some time. Like, what, when I'm 35, I'll probably be done, or maybe a little bit more. But I have another, what, 60, hopefully 50 years of hanging out with my brother. So it will never, it can never, like, of course, sometimes it sucks if I lose the workout to him, even more if I lose the workout to somebody else, but that's the even bigger fun in it. And I think, especially for me, it was so much easier for me coming into sport because I had Lazar, who had already some amazing results. He was kind of setting up the road for me that I just needed to follow. Of course, I had to do my work, but I had somebody next to me to see, okay, this is what it takes to be at the biggest level at this sport. And I will always be grateful for that. And then it's like, yeah, it just will never come. If you ask me, it will never come to the point where I'll be like, oh, I will not talk to him during the competition or whatever.
If you're both lunging towards the finish line in event 6 and whoever crosses the line gets the last spot.
I mean, both of us will lunge and see what happens. Like then, if it,
you're
I
not hope gonna, that's you're the not worst. Slow down, though.
You literally made like the worst case scenario. No, none of us would slow down.
You wouldn't be on your, you know, coming up to your third last lunge and looking over and go like, remember my last 2 years, Lazar. Like, waiting for him to slow down.
No, but if I have to slow, but I mean, yeah, it's like if we are lunging, like if it's a competition between us and it's directly for the spot, we would definitely compete. I mean, we would never like weigh in, but I hope, I'm almost sure that we will not be fighting for the last spot. I mean, hopefully, who knows?
Yeah, you might be fighting for the first spot.
I hope so. That's something.
We got a big, that's something. A big jump in viewership there. Sousa has obviously finished his show and he's sending people over. It's always unfortunate when you clash with someone else's timing. I don't know what this is in relation to, but maybe you do. How did Luca like the jump rope variation? I don't know what that's about.
The double under one, the double under workout, or?
I don't know. How did Luca like the jump rope variation? I don't know what he means by that. But the reason I brought up his comment, if you're doing a little tour, you could, it might be a bit long, but you could hang around after Fort Worth because Crash.
Yeah, I know. I follow Crash. I know JR. Yeah. I mean, I don't know him personally, but I try to follow the podcast that he was on, and I was following the Crash last year. Yeah. I think it's amazing competition. It's only that it's a bit far. So I had kind of similar prize money competitions in Europe at the time. So that's why I decided. But maybe if the calendar goes like that I can compete, I would definitely look into it. But yeah, if he thinks about the double under workout, I like it.
You like it, okay. He's going to give out to me now for not knowing what he's talking about, but fucking hell, I'm not a mind reader. So what does the best case scenario, you go to Madison, or you go to fucking Madison, you go to Fort Worth, and you go and compete, whatever. Have you already got the rest of the year mapped out? Like, are you going back to the Middle East? Are you going to, you did like Marbella last year, right? Are you going to do that again?
I have most of the off season already planned. I try to look like at the competition one by one, but after the games, we have a really big competition coming up in Serbia with a lot of games athletes.
Oh, the Belgrade.
Yeah, Belgrade Games, that one will be the focus after the game season. And then there is a lot of competitions in October, November, December. Okay. I will try to repeat most of the competitions I did last year, which is Marbella Championship, Bilbao, which was in Basque, Throwdown, basically. That one. Competitions in Middle East will be in January and February. So I'll again try to do that. And this year I will look into maybe doing Wadapalooza in September. Oh, that's something that was on my calendar for a long time. And now with Underdogs being really close to like this new venue of Wadapalooza, I might go there for like a training camp and then do Wadapalooza. That's something that I always wanted to do. But yeah, honestly, if you ask me, my goal would be just to replicate the last year plus the games.
plus crash. Yeah, okay, that's cool. I like it. So he's obviously behind because he's replying to things that I said. So the Madrid, you have the Dubliners and then the lift, wasn't that it?
It was like, I liked it because in the end it turned out good for me. But if you ask me if that was a good test, it was not.
it was a good test for you on the day, but as a CrossFit test, not good.
Yeah, because they could do what they wanted to accomplish. They could accomplish that with a heavy rope. And it would be funny, like better to watch.
Oh, wasn't it the fucking bar? The adaptive rope, basically. Yeah.
It would be better to watch. A lot of good athletes lost points there. But me and Lazo were tied for first. He got it on a tiebreak, but that was the best lifting finish ever for me. So was good.
That's funny. Okay, well, look, I won't keep you. I know it's getting kind of late there, and I promise I'd let you go to bed on time. Thank you for coming on. It's been great getting to know you. I was kind of chatting with Lazar the other day, and I said, and hopefully I'm right, I really think this is your year because you seem like happier, more focused and stuff, and I just think Kiefer's a great influence as well. So hopefully stars align, everything goes exactly the way it's supposed to go. I think you deserve it after the last couple of years, just a bit of a shit show around this time of year. So hopefully things all just go to plan and we get to see you in Texas. That'll be epic. Congrats and best of luck next week.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me. And hopefully this, I worked hard to be mostly healthy because of what happened last 2 years. And I think as we are getting closer and closer to the competition, that goal seems like it will be accomplished. And I'm really looking forward to actually step on the floor and actually compete with some of these guys that I didn't have chance to compete basically last year, which gave them some breathing room, I'll tell you. I think it will be a bit stronger feel this year with me back in.
Yeah. And it'll make it more special after the last couple of years. It'll mean more when it happens.
Yeah, I think it will be. In the end,